Springfield's Talk 104.1. I'm Nick Reed. It's Thursday, which means it's Author of the Week time, sponsored by ABC Books on North Glenstone. Our author today, someone, the book a little more lighthearted, Salvador Litvak. The book is Let My People Laugh, Greatest Jewish Jokes of All Time. And I want to thank you for being with us this morning. You're also a filmmaker. We'll talk a bit about that as well, and how it is you became you to write a book like this and about the film. But I did want to ask you, as somebody of the Jewish faith, the big controversy right now with Sidney Sweeney. Apparently, what we all thought was just this innocent, beloved American actress, apparently is a secret Nazi, and she's decided to use a gene advertisement through American Eagle in order to spread her Nazi propaganda. At least that's what we've been told. I clearly am naive. I didn't see it that way. Curious your thoughts on all of that.
I just wonder what these people think about, the millions of products that have been sold for a century featuring good-looking people who put them on and wear them and walk around. And I would say anybody who's very handsome, very beautiful, is blessed with good genes. Lucky them. And I guess we like to look at the products that we'd like to buy on handsome and pretty models. How is this eugenics? How is this some kind of hidden Nazi message? I don't know. These people are crazy.
Well, and it just seems like such a contradiction. I suspect, and perhaps I'm stereotyping, though, that some of these individuals that are portraying this as some sort of dog whistle for Nazism are probably oftentimes the same people who promote actual anti-Semitism on college campuses. It's just free speech. That's all it is. It's just free speech. Seems like quite a contradiction.
Oh, yeah. I've seen some of these influencers posting about Sidney and saying not only is she here saying that, this white-skinned, blue-eyed, blonde-haired woman talking about her good genes, but we've seen, because we're such a detective sleuths, right? We've seen that Sidney posted pictures of herself with her family online. And not only are these people white, but they wear cowboy hats. Mm. So clearly they're the red hat brigade. That's what they call them now. I didn't know it's not just red states, but they're red hats. And they say, well, Sidney can't help who her family is, but this is a bridge too far. I mean, the implications of this are unreal. Like, Sidney should have written off her family because they supported President Trump. Well, she can't help that. But this, talking about her genes. And I really got to give credit to American Eagle. I just wonder if they're paying some of these leftist influencers to make a big brouhaha. And they're getting so much attention. Their stock is soaring. They're selling a lot of genes. I give a lot of credit. If they're not paying these leftists, I give them even more credit for knowing that they're going to trigger them in this way.
It really is, I think, encouraging to see what would have maybe 4 years ago had a different outcome, one in which there was a belief by a company that noise on the internet was a representation of the public at large, and, oh, no, we'd better change course immediately, to instead realizing, wait a minute, this not only isn't going to hurt us, if we just hold fast, it might actually help us. And I think that's encouraging.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm in the movie business out here in Hollywood. There's so many of these really brilliant producers and filmmakers who've been around for a long time. And they got into this mode where they're more afraid of their 23-year-old intern. And what they might say in the cancel culture mob than the audience. They care more about the interns than the audience. I do think that the pendulum is starting to swing back across all these industries, where you're just realizing that the noisemakers are not the public.
Right.
I think most Americans are moderate people. They value freedom. They value security. On the different sides of the aisle, we might argue about how much freedom should we give up for security? How much security should we give up for freedom as we prioritize? But we don't need to go to crazy extremes, right? And we don't have to have the news cycle dominated by the crazy extremes.
Right. We're talking with our author of the week, Salvador Litvak. His book, Let My People Laugh, Greatest Jewish Jokes of All Time. What motivated you to write the book?
So my wife and I run a Jewish wisdom platform called Accidental Talmudist, where we share what's beautiful in the Jewish tradition, especially the oral tradition, stretching back 3,000 years to Mount Sinai. And humor has always been part of the Jewish wisdom tradition. We learned that the great sage Rabbah, 2,000 years ago, he would always open his lectures with a joke, and his students would laugh. So either he was genuinely funny or his students were very polite. But I think we've all seen that humor can sort of open doors to critical thinking that other modes of expression can't. And so I feel like I'm an inheritor of this wonderful humor tradition. And what I've done with these jokes is, first of all, chosen the best of them. There's been lots of Jewish joke books, but they usually have way too many jokes in them, and a lot of them are not that funny. I took the best 163 jokes, and I've adapted them to the modern ear, so they're all in their best form, and make some lists at the beginning so that you've got the best jokes for a business lunch, for a first date, for a fundraising speech, for a wedding toast, the jokes you need when you need them. And perhaps your audience would like to hear one of the greatest Jewish jokes of all time.
Yes, please.
So a rabbi, a Hindu priest, and a politician go out for a hike. And they're planning to stay at a charming inn, but they get lost. They can't find it. They end up knocking on the door of a farmer. Farmer says, "No problem. You guys can stay here, but I only have a small guest room with two beds. One of you is going to have to sleep in the barn." The Hindu priest says, "My brothers, it's no problem. I'll take the barn." The rabbi and the politician settling in for the night, and there's a knock on the door of the bedroom. It's the Hindu priest, and he says, "I'm sorry, my brothers, there's a cow in the barn. I can't sleep beside the holy animal." The rabbi says, "No problem. I'll take the barn." The politician and the Hindu priest settling down for the night, there's a knock on the bedroom door. It's the rabbi. He says, "There's a pig in the barn. I can't sleep beside the filthy animal." Politician says, "Let it be remembered, I sacrificed for the greater good." He heads off to the barn. Rabbi and the Hindu priest are settling in for the evening. There's a knock on the bedroom door. They open it. It's the cow and the pig.
Well, okay. So I like that. And I'm glad that I got it, because so here was, this was going to sort of be, I guess, my next question. And the reason I say I'm glad I got it, I'm a Christian, and I think while we do have listeners that are Jewish, I think probably the plurality of our listeners are of the Christian faith, but I don't think there are two faiths that are greater allies than Christianity and the people of the Jewish faith. But then I'm thinking to myself, when you started to tell the joke, and this being the greatest Jewish jokes of all time, are they inside jokes? Are people who are not Jewish going to understand them? Now, that one I did. So that was for a wider audience. I like that. But are there some jokes in there that I'm going to have to go to my Jewish friends and say, "I need you to explain this to me"?
I mean, there's a couple. Yeah. There's a few. But I would say that of the 163, you know, maybe 10 or 15, you might get a little, might need a little help. But humor crosses all boundaries, you know, and especially as you mentioned, I would say that this country was founded on Judeo-Christian principles. Right. We have so much in common. The idea that there is a creator, that he sent us a message with a moral framework, how we're supposed to live, what we can and cannot do, what we should and should not do. I think we can agree on so much of that. Yeah. I think you really recognize that in my movie that's in theaters right now, Guns and Moses. And people can see the trailer at GunsAndMosesMovie.com.
Yeah, tell us about
Neil
it.
Neil McDonough, Christopher. Yes, starring Neil McDonough, Christopher Lloyd, Dermot Mulroney, and Mark Feuerstein as Rabbi Mo. It's the story of a rabbi, a clergyman in a small high desert town who becomes an unlikely gunfighter after his community is violently attacked. It's an action thriller, straight up, with so much entertainment value. But it was, at least the character of Rabbi Mo, was inspired by a real event, a shooting that happened in a synagogue in 2019 in Poway, California. In this case, there's a shooting, there's a murder. The cops think they've got the killer right away, a young white nationalist who's really a kid who's just learned to hate Jews online, probably from leftist propaganda, mm-hmm. who's never really met Jews. And he's not the killer. And so the only one who believes him is the rabbi. And since the cops won't investigate, the rabbi heads out and starts asking the difficult questions. And as the danger level increases, the rabbi has to learn to defend himself and his community. And he learns how to shoot with real firearms training from the real world, not the usual montage of tin cans on a fence. We wrote this and shot it before October 7th. We knew that attacks on Jews and Jews who fight back would always be relevant, but we never imagined a horror like October 7th or this explosion of Jew hatred that has been on the streets of America and especially the college campuses since. It's unbelievable. Wow. We're living in such times. But we're just so grateful to have allies and to have, you know, people whose critical thinking can judge for themselves. You just had a story in the New York Times, right, where they show these pictures of starving children
and yes.
Israel committing genocide, starving Gaza. And then it was proven to be absolutely fake pictures where they knowingly cropped out the healthy looking mother, the healthy looking siblings. A very unfortunate child with muscular dystrophy who is not starving. He's skinny because of that disease. And the New York Times knew that. Yeah. And it's amazing. And then they published the retraction yesterday. But how many people saw the front page story?
Right.
And how many people saw the back page retraction a few days later?
Yeah, and I've become a firm believer that that is also a tactic that is used because they know that the image will last forever. So even if people do see the retraction, there will be other people out there that are looking in order to validate their anti-Semitic beliefs. And so they'll do an internet search for starving child in Gaza, and that picture will pop up because it's already there.
Yes,
and it
exactly
will validate
right.
it. And I've actually come to believe that increasingly, as we see sometimes elected officials tell these just very clear lies, and then, the next day, I didn't mean that, whatever the issue's about. And I believe that that's why they're doing it, because then down the road, somebody looking to validate their beliefs so that they can repost an article will Google it, and then the story will come up of the original misstatement, and it validates their belief. And I think that's what also occurred with the New York Times. It's a tactic increasingly, I think, that's being used. We're talking with our author of the week, Salvador Litvak, the book Let My People Laugh, Greatest Jewish Jokes of All Time. I have to tell you, with this book and what I would, as a non-Jewish person, I think one of my favorite Jewish jokes about Jewish jokes was an episode of Seinfeld in which Jerry's dentist, who was played by Bryan Cranston, converted to Judaism. Yep. And so he was telling Jewish jokes, and Jerry was complaining about it. I think maybe it was to his rabbi. And so the question to him was, and this offends you as a Jew? And he says, no, it offends me as a comedian. And I just always thought that was one of the funniest jokes that I'd ever heard regarding that particular sort of issue. Any final thoughts? I mean, I know generally we focus so much just on the book, but given the current events and the film Guns and Moses in theaters now, and we'll make sure to get the trailer up on our site so people can see it. But just any final thoughts for our listeners this morning?
First of all, just a big hug and a thank you to everybody who can think for themselves and understand that right now the Jewish people need you. I mean, we're really threatened in a way that we haven't been in 80 years since the Holocaust. It was like, all that death and tragedy. And my grandmother survived, carried my mother's an infant to a concentration camp. My grandfather was murdered in a different camp. And that generation, the Hungarians in my family, they always said, it could happen again. It could happen here. We said, listen, Grandma, we know what you're saying. You went through this horror, but not in America. Nothing like that could ever happen in America. And I don't think we're at the point where a Holocaust could or is happening in America. But we also have never seen this kind of overt brazen Jew hatred being shouted from the rooftops.
Right.
When you hear somebody saying globalize the Intifada and from the river to the sea, that is a call for the eradication of Israel and the murder of Jews around the world. And that call for violence is being heard by crazy people, and maybe not so crazy, but just hateful people. And there's just been an explosion of attacks. I joined an organization called Magen Am, which means Shield of the Nation in Hebrew. I didn't grow up around guns. I was not a gun guy. But I've gotten trained and licensed, and I carry a firearm, and I carry in synagogue. And I'm an Orthodox Jew, which is to say a visible Jew. We're very aware of this threat level. And please God, we should never need such skills or such training or such a weapon. But if we do, we will not be a soft target. And we are just so grateful for the people that stand by us in this difficult hour.
Well, you have family, allies here, and I know within our listenership, and thank you so much for being with us this morning. Salvador Litvak, again, mentioning the his latest film, Guns and Moses. The book, Let My People Laugh, Greatest Jewish Jokes of All Time, are author of the week, sponsored by ABC Books on North Glenstone. I'm Nick Reed.